Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. As we begin the new year of 2015, we take time to reflect on our own past year as a podcast, as well as the past years of growth for the bisexual community. For us, the Bicast crew, it was a year ago that we took an idea and turned it into a podcast. Today, that idea has become a successful podcast, a nonprofit organization, and a fiscal sponsor of Binet USA, among other things. We would not have gotten this far if it weren't for our amazing volunteers, our guest hosts, our honored and featured guests, and of course you, our faithful and supportive listeners. We thank you, and we plan to start the new year off with hope. Hope for our listeners, hope for our podcast, hope for those struggling with all types of acceptance, and hope for a more bi-inclusive society. And to help us reflect and look towards the future, we are joined for a second time by Kyle Schickner. Welcome, Kyle.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hi, Kyle.
How's everyone
doing? Happy New Year.
Hi.
Thank you for having me back. I'm honored.
Oh, we love you.
I'm
perfect guy to start the show off.
Yes, definitely.
I'm blushing. You can't see it, but I'm blushing.
All right, I'm Ruth.
I'm Lynette.
I'm John.
And Becca will be joining us shortly.
Yes. Great. So welcome, and welcome Becca when she comes. So, Kyle, last time you were on, we chatted about your web series, Rose by Any Other Name, which is on YouTube. However, you have done something more recent than that series. You did your feature film, Paradise Lost. You directed and wrote the film, as well as played a murder victim. Tell us a bit about the film and what milestones you feel the film has made.
Okay. Thank you, Paradise Lost. Just to go back about 10 years, when I made Strange Fruit, which was a movie we did back in 2004, and it got very well received. It was about a gay black, you know, lawyer who investigates, you know, some gay hate crimes. But it took like a year and a half to sell, even though it got great reviews, but people just kept saying there's no market for, you know, black gay movie, blah, blah, blah. And it frustrated the hell out of me. So I, you know, one night I was like, you know, I just want to make something that will be easy to sell, like without having to like, you know, like beg people to say, oh, we love it, but we have nothing for it. So, you know, I wrote a horror movie, like an old fashioned timey slasher film, called Paradise Lost that takes place we shot it actually in the Dominican Republic. And we actually shot it in 2006, but for legal reasons, I lost the rights to it for a while. And you know, one of the few things, you know, I mean, it's a typical slasher film in that, you know, I wanted to look at like, you know, I sort of, and I won't ever do this again, but I looked at it from a jaundiced eye and saying, okay, well, I need to sell this. So horror movies make money because of, you know, the violence and, you know, the murders and the sex, and usually they find two or three scenes where they're in their underwear. I'm like, well, how can I put them all in their underwear all the time?
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me put them on a beach. And I'm a huge Survivor. I'm a huge fan of Survivor that I've been trying to get on for years. So I figured if I'm not going to get on, this is the closest. So I wrote this script about a sort of a second-rate Survivor knockoff that goes horribly wrong, and there's a killer on the island, and he's murdering people. So that's where it came from. However, being an offensive film production, you know, I wanted to sort of skew a little bit with everyone's sexuality. Not everyone's, but a lot of people's sexuality. And in fact, the lead, you know, the lead character is the lesbian. And I don't, you know, again, that's not very, it's not very common. And we don't make a big deal of it. She does, you know, has nothing to do with the story other than she's, you know, this sort of the hero. And she just happens to be a lesbian. And there's a couple, you know, bisexual-y characters out there. So I think that, I mean, it's not Rose by the Name, it's not Steam, it's nothing, it's not, you know, Strange Fruit where it makes a deep message, which again, I don't think I'll do again because I didn't have a lot of, it doesn't give me a lot, I'm proud of it, I like it, but it doesn't sort of, make me feel like, oh, this may help people. But you know, it's a fun little thing, and I did a little cameo where I get killed, which I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that vicariously enjoyed that. So yeah, so that's the Paradise Lost, and now we put it up on you know, in 10-minute increments on YouTube for free, because why not?
Why not? Anyway, it's fun, and I wish you had stuck around a few more episodes, because your character was fantastic.
No,
he really was.
I play like the host of the show, and I'm the first one to die. Spoiler.
Yeah.
We actually shot it. The money that the investors were these Greek shipping magnates, and they wanted to have Miss Greece 2006, whatever it was, be the host.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did, we actually shot two versions. One, the European version, where she's the host,
mm-hmm.
And she gets murdered, and then, but she really, you know, English was not her strong suit, so it wasn't really working for the American market. So I also then we shot it twice with me playing the host, and again I die fairly quickly, so that's good. So then the rest of the real actors take over.
Well, you play it.
Hi.
Wait. Yeah.
Oh, hi, Becca.
You're saying this is fiction?
Hi.
I thought it was a documentary.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot. There's, like I said, plenty of people that wish it was.
But you know, there's reality shows that are a lot more gross. At this point, you were just you were just doing speculative fiction at that, you know, back in 2006.
Exactly. And part of me, actually, it's funny because part of me was like, fine, you know, that Mark Burnett, the creator of Survivor, will see that and say, oh, he's a big fan, and then, you know, call me up. But it still hasn't happened. So if anyone knows Mark Burnett out there, or anyone at Survivor, we should have the first openly bisexual character. I would gladly be that person for next season.
I don't know if anybody's seen Equality TV, but he every time he did a episode for them, that's literally how he ended every video. Was make sure you get it out there that I want to be on Survivor.
I remember a few years back on Big, I think it was English Big Brother, that someone actually died during the filming of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, another really interesting thing from last summer was the Israel Big Brother was being filmed while the war was going on, and the people in the house didn't know anything about what was going on in the real world.
Wow.
So
that makes it interesting.
You know,
that sounds like a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, really.
Almost. It's just like, well, there is a Doctor Who episode that's a reality show. So
yeah, and it's like that. It's like Big Brother or Question Thing or something, and they're all locked up in different rooms. Yeah. Hello, Becca.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Glad you could join.
All right, we'll sort of move the conversation forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you also chose to release the 1996 feature film Rose by Any Other Name on your YouTube channel, which was the blueprint for the later web series with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
And so 19 years after the film has made, the film provides a time capsule for the 1990s era. What made you decide to release it last year, and how does it differ, reflect the web series that followed years later, and any other thoughts with it?
You know, it's interesting. It was actually my first feature, which was Rose by Another Name, which was, you know, for those that don't know, it's about a lesbian that falls in love with a man. This was initially a play I did in New York, I think in 94. And she slowly comes out as bisexual, and it sort of deals with, and I was really just starting getting into the whole sort of bisexual activist stuff, so it was really hot on my mind. So I wanted to write that. And what I, by releasing it now, and again, it was all over the world. It never got released in the United States, unfortunately, because I made a bad deal. But I finally got my rights back a few years ago, but it's been so busy with so much other stuff, and then I had the regular web series. And I watched it about 6-8 months ago, and I was shocked at how little things really have changed for bisexual folks in America. In that all of the stuff that, you know, even when we're doing the web series, I didn't have to. I mean, for those who have seen the web series, and if you ever watched the movie, a lot of it's very, very, very similar. I mean, some of the dialogue is. I mean, so a lot of it didn't need to be changed, unfortunately, and I think that's sad. that the lack of acceptance from gays and lesbians, and the sort of the complete misconceptions from the straight community are really still still prevalent today in 2015 now, and that to me is shocking and sad. And I think again, I sort of seem to beat the same horn, sort of our fault again. Sort of, you know, I got into my activism to sort of, you know, to make the world better for, you know, people coming out. And looking at it, you know, 20 years later, it's like, well, we're sort of kind of in the same place. And that to me is shocking and interesting. It's also interesting to see the, you know, the hairstyles.
Yeah. Some of the clothing and it's interesting to see the club setting too, that, you know, in the early scenes where they go clubbing and you see like the queer clubs of the way that they were, like, you know, over, you know, 20 years ago almost.
Yeah.
So, and then I actually, since I watched the film or whatever, I actually like how Rose solves the problem for it being such like a short film, and the way that like it ends is such like kind of like almost moving, like with the discussion between Veronica and Chris, and like, he's confused and like she's mad, and then his confusion makes her realize that there isn't a problem.
I did like the ending. I did sort of like the ending because, you know, it really, you know, there's, I mean, it's the relationship between Rose and Anthony, but really, you know, what I was trying to get at was, you know, exposing the stupidity of everyone's sort of anger about and freaking out about Rose being bi, or, you know, that Rose really is me, so me being bi and all that kind of stuff, you know, and sort of, so ending it with that way. And it's funny, one of the producers we had a lot of fights about, they didn't want to end it that way. They just thought it should end with Rose and Anthony kissing. And, you know, and it's interesting to see the scenes that aren't, that we took out, that aren't in the, cause there's a sort of a contrived ex-girlfriend storyline, which looking back on it makes me cringe. Where Anthony's ex-girlfriend sort of comes in, and it's sort of, you know,
yeah,
it's not, you know, so looking, but like, yeah, 10 years later when I made the web series, I'm like, oh, I learned from my mistakes. I got rid of that part.
I mean, it gave a reference for the fact where, you know, there were certain scenes in the movie, like, where she was, like, referenced, and having, like, sort of, like, that antagonist character at the very end was really important, where he's, like, trying to go back to her, but then realizes that it's, like, not a good idea. I mean, it actually works. Like, you know, it provides, like, a reason for, like, the soul
yeah,
like, wrapping up of the ending.
Well, like, I mean, for 90 minutes, I had, yeah, there had to be something that pushed it. You know, with the web series, I was given, I had a much longer time to spell the story out. So when I had to do something, I just felt, I think of all the characters, she's the least developed and the most two-dimensional. So, but, you know, I mean, I don't hate her. And, you know, I think she does a good job. It's not her fault that I wrote it poorly. But I like that it's out there. I like that people can compare if they want to and look at, the, you know, and obviously I had to change a lot of the cultural references. Jenny Jones was a talk show in the 90s. Obviously I couldn't do that in 2006.
Yep.
Oh my God, I forgot all about Jenny Jones.
Exactly. So, yeah, so, I mean, it's in all the other actors sort of looking back. And actually, the guy who plays one of my friends also played the same role in 1996, which is, I think, is interesting to sort of look at the take that he, the two different, you know, 10 years later, how he does it differently, or is it similar?
It was different. I thought I recognized him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it was a bit different.
You know, and it's interesting because in 96, there were very few gay films out there.
Yeah.
And here I was trying to sell a bisexual film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, people had no idea what the hell I was doing. Other than Kevin Smith, who stole a couple scenes.
Well, even, like, the bisexual characters that are viewed in, like, the 90s film, they're actually usually the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're, it's really kind of, like, putting, like, a positive spin that wasn't there during the time.
I was definitely trying to do that. And, again, I think it's just sad that, you know, 10 years later, there's still so few, you know, even the Rosemary website, web series, is still kind of one of the few ones out there to begin with.
Yeah.
The only film from that era that really I can think of off the top of my head is the, is it Al Pacino plays a boxer? Or was that an 80s film?
Oh, you mean, well, there was Raging Bull, but that was Robert De Niro.
No, so it's, it's definitely Al Pacino, okay. Because it's the guy who played The Godfather.
Okay.
I think that Matt Damon's movie was like 2000, I think, though. Like
which
where Matt, the one where he's with, I don't know, his line is the whole, like, I think I'm bisexual. No, you're not. Is whoever his
talented
person.
Mr. Ripley?
That might be it.
He plays a murderer, right?
Maybe, I don't know, I have to, like, remember
which
one that is.
You see how memorable our representation is in the film industry.
Yeah, Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Dog Day Afternoon, yeah.
Right.
I knew it. Oh, my God, that was the 70s, wasn't it, Kyle?
That was
early, but he was, even The Advocate describes the character as, quote, a colourful braggart, an early and abrasive LGBT rights activist, a mama's boy, a bank robber, sexual liberationist, and lover of both men and women. So that's not the kindest description.
No.
And it's missing that big giant B word that's so dang scary. Woo.
Well, even when the
Can I chime in for a sec?
Go ahead.
Sunday Afternoon is based on a true story, and
yeah, they did a
criticism way that it did some various kinds of erasure in the script for the film. And so, you know, I would recommend people actually read some of the criticism and read the real story. And there was a documentary this year that actually talked about the real story. And that would also be a thing that people might want to access.
Yeah, John, you stole what I was going to say. That's kind of what I was going to say to you is they came out with the documentary. And I don't even think they use the B word. I think it's very... this is what is happening kind of thing more than anything else.
Which it's crazy that we have to spend so much energy on just the word, the B word.
Yep. It's just a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's seen the new Horrible Bosses 2. They actually do use the bisexual word similar to the way that they had used it in like Grand Budapest. Where it was like, oh, you're bisexual. And he's like, no. But it was more like a sort of like a fun joke. But they actually used it, so it was really, I wasn't expecting it. It was really quite, I guess, like good to hear it kind of thing.
Yeah. Orphan Black uses the word, and they actually have bisexual characters in it. And what other, there's been a couple articles where they actually put the word bisexual in the title. So I guess we're making progress.
Lost Girl has a bisexual protagonist, and... Mm-hmm. You know, Halt and Catch Fire has a bisexual protagonist and a very, very hot bi protagonist. You know, I mean, there is progress. And, of course, you know, we can still call Captain Jack if we have any problems with
Kevin. Yeah. And they actually say the word bisexual and talk about fluidity and, you know, the Kinsey scale and stuff like that in Orphan Black. So. Kudos for them.
No, we're certainly making progress. No, absolutely. And I think, maybe that was our problem. It's a much more subtle progression.
Mm-hmm. It is. I agree with that.
You know, but go ahead.
I was going to say, even compared to, like, the trans, like, you can even see it with, like, the new Orange is the New Black. I mean, people are going, it's such a great, like, trans movement that this series is done, and it was based off of a bisexual woman's book who the character is bisexual, and then they don't say the B word either.
No, they don't.
And that goes back to advocacy, I think. I mean, that there's no one, you know, in the decision-making process that's sort of pushing, you know, the real three-dimensional images of bisexuality. I think the transgender movement has been unbelievably successful in this.
Yes.
It seems to have exploded in the last maybe 10 years or so. Less than that.
I mean, really?
Yeah, less two, for sure.
Less two or three. I mean, I saw in 2004, I went to a small pride, and there were, and that seemed to be sort of, that, for me, looking back, was the turning point for trans. Because it was the first time I saw anything about it at any official event. And since then, it just seems to have taken up. People seem to have been getting involved.
You know, it's interesting.
I mean, they've got Transparent going now.
Yes, exactly.
And it has some issues. But, you know, it's, I think it's quite a hit with people, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've heard very few complaints. And look, everyone's, you can chop up any project and say, well, it should have done this, it should have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
exactly.
You know, one story can't tell, I can't tell every bisexual woman's story, obviously. I can only tell Rose's. And with, you know, with the show on Netflix, it can only show that, you know, that woman's story.
Yep. Yeah.
But to do it truthfully and honestly, and again, my feeling was, my thought is like, well, shit, where the hell, what, you know, that's what we don't have. We don't have a movie like that. And, you know, and again, so that's the frustrating part. And we can complain as much as we want. And I do about Hollywood and its lack of, but obviously there's people making these movies and these shows. So some, again, there's no advocate inside willing to sort of say, hey, you know, either I'm bisexual or this is a storyline we need to sort of explore. They just sort of use it as a, you know, almost like a, either a plot point or,
plot device.
Yeah, or
plot
a device to sort of, to bring tension into another story. And that's the frustrating part.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems like to me that every single person introduces, every single writer introduces the bisexuality of someone by having him cheat.
with
a different sex. There's got to be something more creative they could do.
I would love to see something where they introduce that aspect of a character by just sort of having them sat watching television with their partner, nudging the partner and going, I would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, something, you know, something like an every, you know, like, just not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, though, that, I mean, we are one of the groups that are hidden in Hollywood, and we're one of the groups that are always misrepresented in Hollywood. But, you know, Hollywood is a big, big problem, and there's a lot of, you know, like, everybody who's not rich, white, and male generally is misrepresented by Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's so many times, it's not the script writers, because there's people that are writing great scripts. And when they hit that, you know, when they hit those producers and when they hit the, you know, those directors and they hit those, the money, they're told to change people. They're told to change people's races and they're told to change people's orientations and they're told, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, you know, and I look at like Kyle and I look at, what By the Web series is doing as, you know, the insurgency, right? It is an insurgency against Hollywood. And, you know, that's where we can tell our stories in this new media because there aren't those restrictions, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the only reason like shows like Orange is the New Black got made was because of the new media, right? Because Netflix said, let's go into the, you know, let's go and like try to knock HBO and Showtime off their own pedestal, right?
Ooh,
literally, that's what it was.
And they did, didn't they?
Yeah,
they did with that show.
They are, yeah. So,
hi.
You know,
somebody's dog.
You know, they have to either, change or get out of the way. And, you know, we were talking about comic books a while back and I see the same thing now, like now Marvel and DC are, putting in some LGBT characters. But, you know, for years and years and years, the underground comics world had black superheroes and had LGBT superheroes and such. And, you know, the reason that Marvel and DC have those characters now is because they saw their market share going because kids were going and buying those comic books from the underground comics producers.
Yeah. Well, a lot of like we're represented in, like, written material. Like, we're represented in books and magazines and comic books and things like that. And so there is a lot of bisexuality there. There is, like, the B word being used often, but it doesn't translate into movies and into media and things like that. And that's why things like YouTube and Netflix and non-regulated online spaces, that's where we have to put our stuff too.
When I was a kid, man, we totally rejected Hollywood. I mean, if it came out of Hollywood, we wouldn't go watch it. Even if it was probably a good movie, because we had an attitude. If it weren't coming out of New York or a foreign country, then we didn't want to see it. So voting with your feet is one of the ways that we make change.
And the other thing is, I've always felt this way, is that Hollywood is, it's run by rich white men, straight, or at least straight acting, or straight, claiming.
During the day.
But I've always felt that ultimately what runs Hollywood is money. And if no one watched Orange is the New Black, the first couple episodes, it would have gone away. So I don't think there's anyone in Hollywood saying, oh, this is great, let's push transgender issues. They're saying, holy crap, there's an audience for this, let's milk it, let's exploit it. And I use the word exploit in not a negative term. So, that's always been my frustration with the support of, I think I've said this to you with you guys last time, is the lack of universal, as much as universal support from the bi community with bi artists coming out, whether you like them or not. I don't like Vanessa Carlton's music, but I'll buy her CDs because she's out and she's bi. And if Hollywood saw, if all of a sudden, bi the web series, starts getting, 100,000-200,000 hits every couple of days, all of a sudden, the people that are making decisions are going to say, oh, wait a minute. But see, there isn't that wave of support that sort of backs any one project. There's nice pockets of support. But it's not, there's no universal,
there's not. And sometimes I think it has to do with the fact that we can't advertise. None of us have any money to, do like a big HRC thing or GLAAD thing and, just saturate the public with us.
I agree. It is completely money. And a lot of those of us doing this, are struggling and doing this on the cheap. But in the same way in the 70s and 80s that, the gay and lesbian images weren't out there, there were some people with money somewhere that identified gay and bisexual or gay and lesbian that backed these movies, that backed the artists.
Agreed.
So
agreed.
Where are the rich
bisexuals?
That don't have sort of weird, bizarre agendas like AIB or something like that. Like, where are they that are saying, hey, this is what we want to support? Because they have to be out there. But again, it's a matter of are they proud enough and interested enough in getting behind a bisexual project where they could just as easily get behind a gay project? But they have to be out there. We all can't be poor.
I know, but also in this day and age, it's the 80s had its own dangers for gays and lesbians. I'm not going to deny that. I didn't live through it, but I've heard enough stories to know it was dangerous. But the kind of scandal that happens is so and so much as we're at the point where if you see the word bisexual in an article, we're sharing it and throwing parties because it's so rare. I don't think maybe there's not that. I don't want to call it bravery, but basically bravery of, are we willing? Is someone out there who's got the money and is willing to put their reputation, their money on the line?
Yep.
Because those are two very different things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will spend the money. There's plenty of people out there with more money than sense, but we want someone who's got sense and is willing to put the money up. But anyone with sense is going to look at it and say, hold on, there's a danger to my reputation here.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't even get the people that have come out as bisexual, like Alan Cumming, and these people, to actually connect with the community and say, hey, I'm bisexual, and hey, I see you, are my community. And that would be such a morale booster. It would just, spur people on. but we can't make that connection with them.
Well,
and I'm not
a
sure.
lot of them have, like, their own agendas, too. Like, they,
sure.
they have no interest in actually participating in the full community, but they're willing to be open. They just don't want that connection to the community.
And,
like,
you know,
oh,
I praise them for being open, but there was plenty of, gay.
Mm-hmm. I will say, Alan Cumming actually did really support us in the visibility project.
Oh, that's right. He did.
What was it, like, about 3 or 4 years ago now?
Yeah.
And he really always does talk about his bisexuality. I think that if we're having trouble getting a hold of him right now, he's busy as all out. He's got a TV show. He's got a play. He's doing a play right now, and he's marketing his book. And so,
and he's got those suspenders between his legs, and it must be difficult.
Yeah, but I think the man is really, really, really busy.
You know what? And you're right, because he did come out and he did the whole thing on NPR and, you know, stated his bisexuality and he was proud. And a couple of years ago, he did all part of the Bi Visibility campaign with people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I should be picking on Alan Cumming.
And the other question becomes, if one of our groups reaches out to somebody saying, hey, like, there really isn't a cogent, cohesive community to say, oh, this is where I'm going to hang my hat
for
10 years. Because it's like, you know, it's like, well, what, you know, even the Vibe Visibility Project sort of fizzled out. It didn't get any kind of exposure that it should have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, taking Alan out of the equation, anyone new coming up or reaching out to somebody else, my first question would be, if I'm that person with a career, with a, you know, who probably gets, you know, asked to do 1,000 things and put their name on 1,000 things, to look at it and say, well, what am I getting in bed with?
Yeah.
What the hell they're doing? And then it's, so you got to look at it like, well, we don't have an agenda. We don't have
Yeah, we need, you know, this is one of the things that concerns me too, is we need a very clear agenda. What are we trying to accomplish? And, you know, we all have the ideas, but I think we need to start writing stuff out.
I think as well,
you know,
a big problem is within the community itself, we're still arguing over what label to use.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's always so much time.
I'm going to go back and talk about you know, why gay and lesbian films, you know, are more mainstream Hollywood. And it goes back to, you know, the LGBT film fest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When these were really underground little filmmakers, making $100,000 movies, getting promoted in these film fests around the country really propelled people into the mainstream. And, you know, one, you know, like, my favorite bisexual director, aside from yours truly, Kyle, Greg Araki, right, who was a darling, right? I mean, The Living End and the trilogy were just like, you know, that was the feature film at the LGBT, or the Gay and Lesbian Film Fest. And then he comes out as bi, and, like, he's not even on the list anymore. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at, like, you know, like, he made a couple of years ago, Kaboom came out. And I just assumed that, you know, he would be back in the circuit again. It didn't get play at all. And, you know, I mean, it has a bisexual protagonist, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, openly bisexual protagonist. And it's a fun, fun film, you know? You know, it's just like, you know, one of those, like, you know, crazy Greg Araki comedies with like some off-screen horror in it, you know. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's a part. And, like, you know, our local film fest, you know, which is actually just getting itself back together again, about the only bisexual film in the 2000s that was shown was By the Way, which was a documentary. And actually, I felt as a bisexual man that it was really not a very pro bisexual man movie.
I agree.
Had some really problematic mm-hmm. scenes in it, and, you know, I saw it with my partner, and she's, you know, there's a scene where she's squeezing my hand because she knows that it's triggering me. You know.
Where is your hometown?
And that was it.
Where do you live?
D.C.
John Lim, yeah.
Yeah,
where?
D.C.
Okay.
It's D.C. So, you know, so it was, you know, it's like the, you know, like, actually that was at the huge AFI in Silver Spring, which is like, you know, it's a real palace.
You know, it's interesting, John. You're absolutely right about Film Festival. When Rose, the original movie, came out in 96, there was the first annual bisexual film festival in San Francisco. And it was over a weekend, and it was, you know, they showed Rose, and I was excited, and that was the only one in the country. And you know, that was, and then they never, I think they might have done it the next year, and that was the end of it. And it was well attended, in San Francisco. But that's, you know, that's exactly right. I think, you know, these gay lesbian film festivals around the country over the last 20 years have really been able to establish and grow artists, filmmakers that go on to do Orange is the New Black or, you know, But I'm a Cheerleader, all these kind of things, there wasn't any bisexual film festivals, and we certainly didn't get any play. I mean, I know at Outfest in LA, it's horrible, and I know in New York, it's not great. You know, bisexual films either aren't, you know, when they are made, they're not good.
I mean, I think one of the problems with it is as well, a lot of bisexuals will go to these gay film fests. You won't find a lot of gay people who'd willingly go to one advertised as a bisexual one. Or at least, you know, wouldn't advertise that they'd gone.
But,
and that's a major issue.
I think
issue
you're right
well.
Initially, but I think that if it's a good film, I think there's enough fans of film that go to these festivals. There are people that write that just want to sort of see their culture and their community, and that's that. But I think that because what happens, even if there were four or five bisexual film festivals around the country, what they do is, you know, these programmers at the gay festivals or even straight festivals, they go to see and they find out, and then they bring them to their festival. But because no one's going to pick by films other than ourselves initially, we didn't develop that. And it's funny because I tried to get a film festival in L.A. It was going to be a film festival one weekend in L.A., one weekend in Minnesota, and one weekend in Boston. It was going to be bisexual filmmaking for filmmakers or that dealt with bisexual subject matter. And it was also going to develop a screenwriting competition with our bisexual judges. The winner of that short film would be then shot, and then we'd show it the next year's. And I tried to get, you know, but, you know, I tried to go to certain avenues where there's bisexual money. That sounds funny. but there's also a lack of kind of, I don't want to say vision, like, because it makes it sound like I'm this visionary, which I'm not saying that, but a lack of long-term goals of, like, look, if we invest in this and create a culture, a bisexual film culture, it will just grow and spread. But I still think people that are sort of the gatekeepers of our community, so many of them are just trying to hold on to their power, their recognition, their control, that they're not – I've sort of retired Fensitter Films as a name. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to make film, but I retired that because, look, I'm 46. I'm not the generation that's going to push forward by politics. I'm there to support them, but I certainly know that I don't have my pulse on what's going to be the next thing for 18, for 15-year-olds. And sort of having a stepdaughter sort of makes me realize, like, oh, I'm not the guy that's going to do this. So I still need to sort of not step out of it, but step aside to then assist any other these new kids coming up. And I think the gatekeepers of the bi community, by and large, haven't been and aren't willing to embrace change. It's not 1986. It's not 1996. Things are different. Even the fact about the names, I think I could be wrong. I think I might suggest all of us feel that the bisexual label is the easiest and best one, but maybe not. But it's certainly up for debate, and, you know, I don't know if that's the way to go now. You know, I don't know. I knew in 96 it was, but I don't know in 2015 if it is anymore, and that may not be a bad thing, but I certainly know that I'm not going to be the one that's going to, you know, bring to the future.
Yeah.
Alone.
I think we have spent so much time on just trying to be noticed and recognized, mm-hmm. that we have forgotten to plan ahead. Yeah. and think like, okay, now we're recognized. That's the step. Now let's do this. Now let's do this. Now let's do this. It's just we've been in this whole fight mode to get where we're going, to struggle there. And, you know, it's right there at the horizon now. And the plan, what are the plans now? What do we do now?
Right.
Well, how do we keep it going?
I think the main issue is that we never expected to get this far.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, invisibility is still, like, a struggle, you know? I mean, people still, like, you know, when people come out, there is not, like, this. They're, like, it's even, like a recent thing that I recently interacted with is, like, even, like, within, like, all communities, but this was specifically within, like, the trans community, there is this, like, even if somebody does come out as bisexual, oh, well, they're eventually going to be on one side or the other, you know, regardless, yep. You know, things are changing in their bodies, so that's why they're bisexual, yep. Or just the general, like, you know, somebody does come out as bisexual, as a cisgendered person, and suddenly it's like, well, you know, are you sure you're bisexual? I mean, there's still that questioning. There shouldn't be any of that. There should, that should be an option. There should be a, yes, they can be bisexual. If they do change, that's fine, but that's the way they identify, and, right. Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
Well, it's just people just cannot grasp non-monosexuality, and I'm not sure why.
You talk about people saying something in your body's changed when you say you're bisexual. Yeah, I've turned my head up. First I was looking at an attractive woman, then I was looking at an attractive man. That's what's changed.
Changed,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I always think back, you know, one of the two greatest basketball players ever to play the sport, who is bisexual, and she was attacked so many times, but not just, you know, like by the straight and by the lesbian community of, you know, who she chose her partner. And, you know, so it is like, how do you, you know, you just like, I think like for people like Cheryl, it was like, you know, it's just better not to deal with this and just stay in the closet than actually be out there. And, you know, I mean, it's just, that's how it works. And, you know, I think we were talking just a few weeks ago, you know, with, you know, by us and, you know, how, and the subject came up about, you know, Hollywood people and the closet and how, you know, it's easier for actors especially to stay in the closet as either gay or straight than to be bisexual. If you're, you know, and I'm looking at a few, identified lesbian stars in Hollywood who I know for a fact are bisexual, you know, but I don't blame them because, you know, the reality is that, you know, how, you know, we were just talking about how bad Hollywood is and, you know, your coming out, will kill your career. And that's just the fact. And,
it is a fact.
And it's a sad reality. Hopefully at some point we can have space and say, oh, well, if you get kicked out of Hollywood, you know, we can get you, we can get you $5 million for your next film. And, you know, and we'll make sure all of us go to see it.
Yeah.
You know, because
all right, we should probably move it forward a little bit. Sorry, John. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to finish everything up so we can finish this up since it's almost 2:30. So Kyle, do you have any future plans, projects, or film coming up for the year 2015? And I know we've talked a lot about bi-Pacific themes, but if any that are bi-Pacific or any that are not.
Well, I mean, I used to have my YouTube channel was changed. Like I said, I moved away from Fenster Films. So all of the Rose episodes, both the filmmaker, actually there's a couple of the web series sites that are not, but the two seasons of the web series and the original movie from 1996 is up there, plus the whole Paradise Lost movie. And I'm tinkering with putting out a less NC-17 version of my movie Full Frontal, which has a ton of bisexual characters in it, on there if I can figure out a way to do it. But that's on my new YouTube. I just launched about a month ago, and I'm just going to slowly grow that. And that's all sort of like a clearinghouse for, you know, bisexual you know, stuff that I've done over the last 20 years. That's just under my name, which is Kyle Schickner. So subscribe to it, you know, share it if you want, you know, look at the videos if you're interested. I think, you know, there's some interesting stuff there. And I'm hoping to get out a movie I did called Tex, which should come out next year, which has a couple of bisexual characters in it, and a romantic comedy that I'm shooting probably in the fall, which has, you know, the two main bisexual characters. It's a romantic comedy called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. So I'm still doing bi stuff. I'm just, you know, I think I can never not do it. Again, Paradise Lost, I learned my lesson. You know, have to be really sort of passionate about it.
Well, it's good that you're out there and you're doing it. I mean, you give everybody, you know, regardless of an age, you know, a reference and something to check out. And your stuff works. You know, I know a lot of people, like, younger than myself and, you know, early college age that do reference your stuff. So, I mean, your stuff is not being noticed. We're grateful that it's there and, you know, that you keep doing stuff for it. And we kind of discussed about this already, but did you have any general comments or critiques, you know, kind of keep it short, you know, just how we've progressed, like, mainly your opinion, just, like, by visibility and things like that?
I think the growth of this show is great. I think that Bynet USA has actually done some really great stuff over the last couple of years, and I've been a huge complainer about them over the last 10 years. So if I'm going to sort of, you know, bitch about them, I got to give them credit. And I think, again, it's a slow haul. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So people expecting, you know, lightning rod changes are going to be disappointed. But you guys are, like I said, and by the web series, like, all of these things to me strike me as a very positive move going forward. You know, again, it's just, you know, so I'm always optimistic, or else I would, you know, be hanging from the rafters. But so, you know, so and being, you know, coming on here is always great to do. It gets my anger back up and gets me motivated. So I thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we're glad we could piss you off.
I would also include in last year the Bisexual Resource Center's Bisexual Health Awareness Month, mm-hmm. which I think was really, really, really useful and continues to be useful community.
Yeah. It was a real stepping off point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I agree.
And that month really has helped our researchers, you know, to be able to scare up some of these resources that we typically don't get.
That's great.
So, you know, that's our, you know, our health issues really come down to us not getting those resources that we need, and that's starting to change. So I think that's another piece of progress that I've seen in the last, well, year 2 years, really, couple years. So.
One thing that definitely needs to get addressed is still, like, I know we've mentioned this on a lot of shows, is really counselors. Like, there are a lot of people who are now really looking for that. I need to be talking to somebody about this who knows about this. And, you know, we lack in that a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's getting better, though. We just need to get that organized and get the training out to the counselors that are there. There are some great bisexual and transgender counselors who have worked with some great protocols that need to be shared. Is there anything anybody else would like to add right now? Nope.
I think we're good.
Back up.
Okay. All links will be provided on the website. Kyle, would you like to plug anything else?
Go to my YouTube, Kyle Schickner, and subscribe and, you know, promote it.
Check out his videos.
One of the things I'd like to ask Kyle to give you some more work is, have you ever thought about a Roku channel?
A what?
A Roku channel, you know? Because a lot of people, you know, that gets out, you know, like, I mean, a lot of people don't have the ability to put YouTube on their television, but lots and lots more have.
How old I am. I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
It's a little box that was actually developed by Netflix to put their shows on people's TVs. But it has lots and lots and lots of channels now. And another thing I would consider too would be like looking at Google Chrome and launching a channel there. I mean, just so that,
that's your view. No, that's great.
Yeah,
the Buy channel.
Yeah,
I'd love to do that.
I mean, you know.
Put anything else anyone wants to put stuff on there, we could do that. It'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd call
Becca
and like because I'm sure they're younger. They know these tech stuff.
Yes, I'll look into that for sure. Thank you. That would be great.
Becca, we're going to say something.
Don't think just because we're younger we know about technology, because
I was gonna agree with Becca. I don't know that really what like a Roku channel is, other than
I don't even know what Roku is. I'm as in the dark as Kyle is, and yeah.
Okay,
and I'm 29.
Right,
so,
talking specifically.
So homework assignment for everybody. We all go find out what Roku is.
Yeah, the BIOS people really are tech savvy. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm old and I know a lot more tech than most younger people. So I'm not ageist like.
All right. Well, and that's the thing too, Kyle, is like you're actually fairly young compared to some of the bisexual people that are just coming out too.
That's true. Because
you get the people that have lived for almost like a lifetime and then realize that they are bisexual. And so at least for myself, for the bi events that I have been to, I actually always feel like a very young person, because many of them are either they're already married and so they're there with their spouse looking into this topic, or they were married and they're no longer married because they came out, or because of a spouse that died and they started to really question their sexuality again. So it's a huge range. So
Bruce, you're right, and there is a whole group of us that have come out late who finally come to terms with their sexuality. I'm a widow, and you know, I've been single a very, very long time, and it was a long journey for me. And there's a lot of us who we don't have any resources. We're old and we're out there, and it's, you know, it's hard for us.
I'm
very supportive of like books and stuff, because that is something that the older generation is still very much into, and we push a lot of books and stuff, or I think it's a good idea to push a lot of books, because a lot of people aren't tech savvy that are coming out, and they need these resources physically, and so it's definitely something that I'm always grateful that we've always been very much supported in the written materials and stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We support our bisexual artists and writers and every way we can, because that is what drives a movement, is people's creativity.
You're absolutely, you guys are great.
Yeah, we have a bisexual culture, and we need to support it. I think right?
We have one. We do. Okay, any other plugs?
No.
Okay, Bruce, go ahead, babe.
All right. As always, remember, you're not wrong, you're not broken, you're not alone, you're a human being, and you're bisexual. That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
That was great.
Thank you, everybody. Sorry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Love you, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show again.
Anytime you need me, Paul.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.